Proverbs 4 says, "Get wisdom and understanding. Don't forget or ignore my words. Use wisdom and it will take care of you. Love wisdom and it will keep you safe." Wisdom is the most important thing, so get wisdom. If it costs everything you have, get understanding. Believe in the value of wisdom and it will make you great. Use it and it will bring honor to you. Like flowers in your hair, it'll beautify your life. Like a crown, it'll make you look beautiful.
Thanks, Faith. I might give this back to Mrs. Julie. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good to see you all. Feels like sort of the first time back this year. Everyone's kind of here together and it's exciting. Nice weather and everyone's hopefully relaxed after having some little bit of holiday time and ready to get back into the new year. Is that right, kids? Ready to go back to school? Yay! Well, parents are ready for the kids to go back, so. So, as we've already heard a little bit about today, I'm going to talk about wisdom. I've got a few slides, so Rebecca, yeah, can you guys see that? Great. I can kind of see it back there. Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about this in a second, but the verse for today comes from Psalm 90, verse 12. And it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So this isn't sort of your typical Sunday school verse. Probably a lot of you wouldn't have heard it before. I actually heard this voice in my early 20s at Unley Park Baptist, where I was going at the time. And I can't actually remember why it stuck with me, but it did stick with me. And I mentioned it to my mum, who is an avid cross-stitcher, and she decided to make this cross stitch. And it hangs up on the wall outside of our bedroom, and it's been there for about 20 years. So you might see there's a date. It's my mother's initials, and then 25th of the 12th, 2002. So just over 20 years. And it was actually, I'm not sure if this is right, Belinda, but I think it might have been kind of like a wedding present. We got married at the end of 2001, so it might have been part of that. Yeah. So she's. We've got a few other ones up around the house as well. So it's good. And so, you know, I walk past it regularly, like, because it's the first thing you sort of see when you walk outside the bedroom door. But I must admit, it is a bit of an odd verse to remember. Why would we want to think about numbering our days? 23,000 was it? That's a lot of days. Grey hair. It's sort of a bit of a kind of like a little bit gloomy to think about numbering our days. We sort of might hear that sort of terminology when we come to a funeral and sort of thinking about somebody's life, or as you get towards the end of life, you might think, well, I don't have too many days left. But then as Christians, of course, we have eternity, which is fantastic. So I want to give you a little brief context of the passage, but the context isn't really tell the story about why I think this verse is something to live by, but I think it's important to give some context. So Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, believe it or not. It's the only psalm of Moses, well, the only psalm that is a psalm from Moses, which is amazing. Did you guys know that Moses had a psalm? You did? Oh, actually, to be honest, I did not know that until I looked into this a bit more carefully. So there you go. But anyway, there's actually quite a long story as to how this got in here, and I won't go into that, but it occurred, well, scholars think that it occurred at a very difficult time in Moses' life. So it was around the time where Moses went through three major events. So one was the death of his sister Miriam. One was, you might remember, when Moses struck a rock in the wilderness and he kind of did the wrong thing, and then he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. So that was sort of a quite difficult time for Moses, obviously. And then also the death of his brother Aaron. So these sort of three things culminated in this psalm, which, like many other psalms, it has a sort of a very familiar structure. It talks about how great God is to start with. A lot of psalms start with that. And then Moses then talks about lamenting the difficult times and how fleeting life can be, and that's where the numbering our days come into it. And then he asks for God to restore favour to his people. So it's sort of this sort of acknowledgement, lament, and then prayer for restoration, which is something we've heard about in other psalms that people have preached on recently here. So this verse has two important elements you'll recognize is the element of time and the element of wisdom. So we often think these things go hand in hand, right? So the longer we live, we think, well, we've got at least more opportunity to get wisdom. And if you were to type wisdom into Google, which is probably a little bit of a dangerous thing to do, you never know what you're going to get out of Google. And then you type images. I wonder what image do you think you come up with? It's not Stephen. You could think maybe it's someone like George Turley with a big grey beard. But I've got a slide. I'll show you who comes up. So does anyone know who this person is? Socrates. There you go. Was that just a random guess? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you could have chosen any of those philosophers of old, but this one actually is Socrates. And that other picture is Socrates as the thinker. There's actually a lot of sort of statues of the thinker out there. So this is Socrates in this case. So Socrates was a Greek philosopher. He lived around 400 BC, and he's credited with being the starter of the founder of Western philosophy. But I'm not going to talk anything about Socrates, except he once famously said, and he's kind of known for this, that it's the statement that, I know that I know nothing. So think about that for a second. Someone that's regarded as one of the wisest people that's ever lived is known for knowing that he knows nothing. So this is interesting, and it made me think about a passage in Job. So probably most of you know the story of Job. He was a very upright, God-fearing person. He went through a terrible time of testing, and then there was all his friends trying to help him, and he was questioning God, and then God comes back with him and says these amazing statements like, where were you when I created this? Where were you when I did this? And really put Job back in his place in some senses. And Job's response was to God, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. So Job recognized that there was this God of wisdom, this God that knows all things, and in comparison, even though he was a wise person, he actually knew very little, very little. And I think that's one of the keys of wisdom is to acknowledge our inability to grasp many things. So I want to just turn to another very famous passage. I think I've got a slide of it, Rebecca. So you guys might have heard this before. And this is really where wisdom begins. This might sound a little bit like Sunday School 101, but I think it's something that we need to hear. So it's, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So anything that is wisdom in this world originates with God. And it's interesting that Job says, well, these are things too wonderful for us to understand. How can we understand a God that says he is wisdom, but yet is too big for our minds to comprehend? Well, you know, the amazing thing is that God actually provided a way for that, and that is through his son Jesus and the relationship that we can have with Jesus. So God actually chose, and this is one of the amazing mind-blowing things, that he would come down to earth in a form which we're able to relate to, which we're able to understand, and through that we can actually have this wisdom that God has and that he promises to give us. And so he chose to reveal himself through Christ. And the other thing is that God, if we lack wisdom in any situation, the book of James tells us all we have to do is ask, and that God gives us generously wisdom. So wisdom's not something that's only for bearded, smart people. Wisdom comes from God, and he gives it to us, and we learn wisdom by relating to God. It's actually in that process of spending time with him and relating. And so that's where the element of time comes in. So I want to talk a little bit about time now. So time, numbering our days. So as I sort of mentioned before, we often equate time and wisdom, and there is some logic to that as well, because the longer we live, the more chance we have to spend time with the Lord, the source of wisdom, and gain wisdom. However, we know that there are very old fools out there and very wise young people, so it's not necessarily a straight curve. One of my favourite sayings from a movie, which you've probably some of you have heard before, is the saying carpe diem. Does anyone know what carpe diem means? Seize the day, yes. So if you've seen the film Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams, fantastic actor, one of the best, there's this great scene where he's with his students and he draws them up to this photo board of people that have been before them, and he's getting them to lean in and listen to the whispers of it's just, you know, obviously a bit of drama on his part, but as they lean in, he's sort of saying, "Seize the day, boys. Gather your rosebuds while you may." He's sort of imploring these boys to take the moment. You know, we don't know how long we've got to live. And these people that they're seeing on the board before them, you know, sort of in a bit of a morbid sort of way, they're pushing up daisies now, aren't they? They're, you know, probably no one remembers, you know, their faces. But he's using that as an illustration to say that time is so precious. You know, take the opportunities that we have and use them wisely. So that I think that's part of what Psalm 90 is trying to say. And we would know as you get older that time, it's a bit of a funny thing. It seems to speed up, doesn't it? When you're a kid, time goes really slow and you can't wait till you get to your next birthday. And then, oh, when I get to 12, I might get these privileges. Or, you know, these days, oh, I might get a phone. I know that's what Hannah's hoping to get soon. not quite yet, Hannah. When you get to an adult, things seem to go quick. You know, we're at 2023 in January straight away. And Faith, who was up here reading before, I think I've got a picture of her, Rebecca. You can see her there now on the screen, right? So this, look, you see that sign there? That's that sign there, right? Faith's like one years old and now she's almost 12. And so we've been here all that time and longer. And I just want to say, this is a fantastic place to be. We love being here, and we've loved having raised our kids here. Thanks to all the parents. I love having all you guys bring your kids, and it's great. It's great. It's chaos, and we love it. So it's fantastic. But it just, when you look at these pictures, and our kids love doing this, it reminds you how quick time goes and how precious it is to take advantage, to enjoy each moment that we have. So I was just thinking, what does this mean in practical terms? For most of us, we don't think, oh, okay, Sunday afternoon, okay, I've got to make the most of this, you know, God's only given me a finite amount of time on this earth, what can I do, I've got to go love this person or whatever. We don't tend to think in those terms, but I think there are ways which we can have sort of in the back of our mind and ways that we go about life which helps us to, I guess, maximise the opportunities and the time that we have. So I've got a few ideas. Rebecca, there's another slide, I think. And these, not unsurprisingly, a lot of these have been messages that have been preached in the last year. I kid you not when I was thinking about these things. So as I've mentioned, deliberate time with God. That works very differently for different people, but often it will involve praying, it will involve spending time in the Word. Look, I'd be the first to admit I'm not great at these things, like I find other things to do instead of doing these things, but I know that these things are key to our whole existence and livelihood and relationship with God. So it's important to build these things into our lives. Living intentionally. Jenny's not here today, but I know one of her favourite words, which gets brought up a lot. So not just drifting, but actually having purpose and having reasons for doing certain things. I'm not saying that everything, you know, you need to be rigid and have things lined up. I'm doing this for this reason or whatever. But it's important to think about, you know, why we live and why we're doing the things that we are doing, because our time is not limited here. Taking opportunities to love and be kind. We've heard a lot about kindness. I've really appreciated these sermons on kindness, and I've been trying to exercise that. It's very hard when you become impatient with certain things. I'm sure as parents, you can relate, those who are parents. Another one, be bold and making mistakes. Who likes to be bold, to go outside their comfort zone? You do? I do not. I'm sure many of you would not. But it's good. It helps us to stretch and grows us. And making mistakes is great. That's the way we learn. So there's no problem making mistakes. And, you know, we try and encourage our kids to do that as well, to try things. If you don't like it, that's fine. Try something new. If you make a mistake, who cares? You know, you've learnt from it. That's great. So we should all aim to do that. Separate surgeons. Hopefully they've made their mistakes by the time they get to the operating table. Accepting uncomfortableness and trials. No one likes to have uncomfortableness and trials. But hey, we learn from them and we need them. And that's why God has made the world as it is and given us free choice. And balance. We've talked a bit about this. Ben, where are you, Ben? Oh, there you go, Ben. Ben mentioned that last week with the Sabbath as well. I mean, God made the Sabbath for us. It's not, as Ben was saying, a law to be rigid, that we have to have this time off, but he's built in the idea of rest, and we need to have that rest. So these are just a few ways that we can think about numbering our days. It's about remembering what has gone behind, but also thinking about what is going to come ahead, and being grateful for the times that we've had and being optimistic and looking forward to the times that are ahead. So just as on a kind of a personal note as well, I've had sort of spoken to a few people. The last couple of years have been quite difficult for me in terms of my work life. I've been in, as some of you would know, I work as a research scientist, and a lot of the work that I do depends on getting government grants. And they've been harder and harder to get in recent years, and so we try and try, and we have very little return for all of our work, which has been a bit discouraging. And just in the last year, we've had to let a few people go, which have been there for a long time. And so you sort of come into the start of this year thinking, oh, you know, God, what can I do here? I did the same thing last year and, you know, nothing really changed. I need wisdom. Can you help me to see the path forward? And so I guess I've been thinking in that vein, like, you know, God, I really need your wisdom to be able to make good decisions. And, you know, no matter what the outcome is, I might be standing here this time next year and might be the same outcome. But that's okay, because I'm learning. God's in control. I don't have to worry about what the outcome's going to be. And I'm thankful that the people that we have let go, they've been able to find other positions, and I miss those relationships. And it makes it more difficult for us to do work, having less people on board. But, you know, I know that God's got it under control, and I need to keep being reminded of that as well. So I think going through difficult times and thinking about our days helps to put all those things into perspective as well. So the strange thing is, if things were going perfectly well, and you guys might have had similar experience before, sometimes you neglect your relationship with the Lord and you kind of tend to drift through, and, you know, sin creeps into your life and other things. And it's amazing having that tension and balance and that reliance on the Lord is just so important for our day-to-day life. So, yeah, so I just thought I wanted to finish again with the verses that Faith read out. So about the importance of wisdom. Get wisdom and understanding. Don't forget or ignore my words. Use wisdom and it will take care of you. Love wisdom and it will keep you safe. Wisdom is the most important thing, so get wisdom. If it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Believe in the value of wisdom and it will make you great. Use it and it will bring you honour to you. Like flowers in your hair, it will beautify your life. Like a crown, it will make you look beautiful. Thank you.